panel. What I would like to do at this point is introduce the panel members, describe the format, and then let her rip. To my right and your left, we have Mark Trepphagen. He's our devil's advocate. He's with the law firm of Powell Goldstein in Washington, D.C. He's been very gracious in coming here to what is probably going to be a rather hot house. And he has worked with the Software Publishing Association and has actually had a hand in authoring and negotiating some of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. To my left, your right, we have Alon Levy with the law firm of Huber Samuelson, San Jose, California. He has been the pro bono attorney in the California Temporary Restraining Order and Preliminary Injunction Hearing cases. Next to him is Barry Steinhardt with the American Civil Liberties Union, New York. And I'm not quite sure who this gentleman at the far end of the stage is, but they tell me he's Eric Raymond.
A person of no consequence whatsoever.
President of Open Source Initiative. What I'd like to propose for the format here is that each side give a 5-minute presentation outlining general issues at stake with the DVD-DCSS issue. There will be, as we have a slight imbalance, it's been interesting trying to find someone on the for the strong proponent side, strong encryption anti-circumvention side. We have a somewhat imbalanced panel. What we'll have is an exchange of questions. Each of the gentlemen on your right of the stage will be able to ask Mark a question. He, in turn, will have the opportunity to ask each of them a question, and then we'll open it up to the House. You will see a microphone on the floor here, and I would ask that if you do have a question to make, that you would please stand up to the microphone. I'd also request that people ask questions and not make statements. I think feelings on the issue are probably going to be fairly clear. So that being said, Mark, if you're ready.
Sure.
Let's begin.
I almost feel like I'm watching or perhaps living in an episode of TNT Nitro. But anyway, as Karsten said, I spent the last 5 years of my life working for the Software Publishers Association. And one of my major tasks was to get the DMCA enacted. And that involved a lot of negotiation with a lot of groups. And let me tell you a little story just about why it was so important. Unlike some other associations, SPA represented a real cross-section of small developers as well as heavyweights. And what we started hearing about half a dozen years ago was that a lot of small developers who were finding themselves kind of pressured into shareware distribution, at least for their eval copies, in order to get some installed base, were finding there were very few registrations and payments coming back. So they started using timers to disable keys to open up the eval copies. So you could have a timer to enforce a 30-day license for evaluation. One of those companies was one of my members called SciTech Software up in Northern California. A fellow named Tom Ryan developed a graphic utilities package, and he provided his package for download on his website. Well, within 3 months, he got a ransom note via the internet that said, "Look, if you send me $25,000, I won't post the key to open up your eval copies." And he had a real problem. And that put him in a real bind, and it put him in such a bind that he came to Congress to testify about it. So that was one of the underlying reasons why it was so important to get the DMCA enacted, and specifically to provide some legal means if people hack through or circumvent access control technology. It was meant to give some confidence to those developers to send out their software over the internet. That being said, admittedly, there were also a lot of other commercial interests in this legislation. And one of them was the motion picture industry, recording industry, book publishing industry. Okay. And and they all saw some benefits from this, too. Now, in a nutshell, my feeling is that, I'm going to try to restrict my comments to the case here in New York, because I'm not familiar with the Santa Clara case as much. But the New York case alleges that the DECSS, is a unauthorized device to circumvent the DVD content scrambling system, which is used to make sure that only players that are authorized can read the DVD movie files. I think that the judge in that case, Judge Kaplan, ruled correctly on January 20th when he issued a preliminary injunction. That injunction ordered several defendants to remove the DECSS from downloading from their sites. And the reason I think he was correct was that I think that, one, the movie studios are likely to win under the new law, which prohibits unauthorized circumvention. And second, I think it's because continued dissemination of the DECSS before there's a full trial on this would cause irreparable harm. That, you know, frankly, the genie would be out of the bottle before, you know, a court has an ability to rule on the legal rights between the parties. Okay. He was also right, I believe, you know, to give the defendants the option of a speedy trial, because naturally enough, they want to be able to get some certainty in this case. And so the reason I think that it was right, how's my time?
We have a minute.
Okay. The reason I think the judge was right is that it was undisputed in the preliminary injunction hearing that the DECSS decrypts DVD files. There was no evidence of any other purpose for this particular device or technology. The judge was also right because the exceptions in the DMCA, including those for reverse engineering and for encryption research, were designed and negotiated to keep people honest. I can tell you more about those later. But they're unavailable, you know, except in some pretty narrow circumstances that are permitted, that are intended to let encryption research go forward without, you know, the possibility that research will be a sham for letting people pirate copyrighted works.
Thank you, Mark. Eric, 5 minutes to state your side.
Right. Well, people in the open source community have widely varying opinions about intellectual property and intellectual property laws. Some of us are opposed to the concept of intellectual property and software at all. Some of us, like myself, actually favor strong intellectual property protections. However, we are pretty much unanimous in believing and asserting that that is not the issue here, and that, in fact, the theory that DVD has anything to do with preventing piracy is a malignant fraud perpetrated on consumers and on the movie industry by a cartel of consumer electronics organizations. And the way that logic works out is that DVD doesn't do anything economically effective to prevent piracy. And this is the case because it can protect against individual copying, but that's not a protection that's needed because the blank media that one would need to do the copying are, in fact, more expensive than the DVDs that are on sale. On the other hand, the kind of volume piracy that's a real economic threat is not protected against by DVD encryption because you can do that mechanically with a stamping press. And there are outfits in mainland China that are turning out pirate DVDs by the half million right now. So the economic logic of the situation is such that presenting DVD as an anti-privacy protection doesn't make any sense. On the other hand, it makes perfect sense if you view it as a means to cartelize and control the market for the DVD players themselves.